Let me see what you can do.
Hot topics and interviews.
And that's just how we do it.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
It's the Entertainment Man Podcast.
Entertainment Man Podcast is brought to you by Crispy on the Web. Go to crispyontheweb.com for more information, social media, and much, much more.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Chris the Man, and welcome to the podcast. Welcome to another interview podcast. It's good to be back once again. And today, I have Jason Johnson on the podcast. How's it going, Jason?
Great. Thank you for having me.
No problem. Can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
So I'm a independent film director and producer located in the San Francisco Bay Area. I've made 9 short films that have been in 80 festivals, winning 6 times, and currently working on 3 projects to get funding to make a feature film.
Awesome. Can you talk about how you got into film?
Yeah, I've always loved film. Film has always been something that I've kind of been around. I grew up watching film, enjoying film with my parents. And when I got to college, I entered a program called Radio, TV, and Film, and that allowed me to explore film concepts, art, etc. But it wasn't until I got cast as an actor on a film project that I really fell in love with it and knew that I wanted to do it.
All right. What inspired you to get into film?
I think growing up, I just thought that it was just like a magical world. You know, we're seeing the screen, but, you know, I always imagined what it must be like beyond the screen. I was just always really interested in that and just engrossed with that concept of, you know, who are the people that make these images that we see on the screen? And I just thought that's something that I might want to do.
All right. It's amazing, though. Film, you have, like, you got your animation, you have your live action, you have, like, so many different types of films out there. Horror, comedy, action. It's just, genre goes on and on and on forever, you know?
Yeah.
I'm a big movie and TV buff, so I kind of know what films like because I'm a big TV movie buff. And actually, I have a TV movie podcast on the side as well besides this one. But no, it's great, though. It's great entertainment, too, right? That's the way to think of it. It entertains you, right? So that's what's important.
Yeah, and, you know, I think film and TV and I would just say entertainment in general is such an important medium because it influences people. It helps to change things. It brings attention to things. So, you know, I'm just so happy to be a part of this medium and just, you know, have the blessed opportunity to create.
I totally agree with that. It's exactly right. What do you love about being a producer?
I'll say it's not my favorite thing to do because producers, you know, they have to be in line to make sure that everything runs smooth. And when you wear both hats, it could be kind of hard to be creative on one end and then, you know, be structured on another end. But that said, I do like the idea of organizing something, making sure that something runs smoothly and that, you know, all of our assets are utilized in the right way.
Yeah, that's true. What do you look for in a script?
I think the first thing is it has to have a voice. You know, there's a lot of projects that come out and, you know, it can just you can remove the characters and the locations and insert other things and it's still the same thing. So, you know, I want something that has a little bit of character, something that has a true authentic voice, something that's entertaining, something that is interesting. And I think when you combine those elements, then you have something that is sellable.
All right. How do you select the director? That's a really tough question, I know.
I always default to myself as the director on all our projects.
Oh, okay.
I think if I were in a position where I was not available and I needed to select a director, I think I would look for a director that genuinely cares about the project because I've worked with directors that, you know, they just try to treat it as just kind of like your routine job. They show up, they, you know, we'll shoot this, we'll shoot that, at, you know, this angle. I want someone that cares, that has passion, some creativity, and, you know, ultimately wants the project to be the best it can be.
Yeah, and they kind of share the same vision as the producer, like you, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's also really important.
It is, yeah. I've done YouTube for almost 10 years now, or well over 10 years, and I know exactly the process, because I used to have a series at one point on YouTube, and I know all about that process. How do you manage the production team, including the production production team and cast the budget and a budget for the film?
Well, it all starts with the script. So you do what's called a script breakdown, and a script breakdown will give you an idea of your locations, your actors, and then like if there's like any special effects or stunts or anything like that. And then from there, you start to kind of work forward, and you kind of like do a lot of estimation as far as this location costs X amount, these actors will cost X amount, and so forth and so on. So it really starts with the script, and you really want to spend a lot of time making sure that all these elements are organized.
All right. How do you motivate your staff during previous projects or during projects in general?
So that's a really great question. So I'll say that you really want to have crew that are motivated to be there and they have the same vision as the producers and the directors. Because if you don't have that, then you're going to have people that are, you know, disgruntled. They're just not going to put their full effort forth. So it starts with having people that are dedicated and have the same vision you know, aren't just there just for a paycheck. And then once you have that, you usually find that, you know, those crew members are dedicated to the project, and that's going to move your project forward in the right way.
All right. What is your favorite part of being a producer?
My favorite part of being a producer is seeing a job well done. You know, I really pride myself on trying to make sure that our sets are run well, that our crew are happy, our actors are happy, and the location is happy. So, you know, if we can accomplish those things, then, you know, I think that's the job well done, and that would make me really happy.
All right. And here's a kind of production question that just kind of popped up in my head. It's not in my notes. How long from start to finish, how long does a production usually run to getting it, like, from beginning of, like, filming to the end of it? Like, or, yeah, something like that.
So there's, like, this general rule that it takes 7 years from the time when the screenwriter finishes the last period on the script to the time that it's finished. And in that time, a lot of things happen. Your funding is going to happen. Your meetings with distribution, actors, crew members, filming, editing, marketing, you know, it just really goes on and on. So generally speaking, if you have a feature length script, it takes 7 years from start to finish.
Wow. And especially if you create a sequel to a project too, like the sequels on other movies, like Back to the Future, for example. I'm just using that as a spitball of a movie. But, you know,
yeah,
you have to remember, then you have to think about sequels, like how long is that going to take you to write and all that. Like, that's also really important to think about, especially if you do like sequels to movies out there.
So sequels are a little bit different, actually, because, like, let's say, you know, using Back to the Future. Mm-hmm. Back to the Future was a big hit and, you know, it made a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that really ramps up that timeline. It really shortens it down.
Yeah.
So, you know, now you'll have a sequel come out within 2 years of a big successful first entry. So it really just depends on the IP and how much it makes. But, you know, if you're just starting like a new project, you have to garnish interest. You have to, you know, go to these meetings, make sure the distributors are on board, and that can take time.
I never knew that. It took shorter time to create a sequel. I never knew that. I'm learning something new about the film industry, which is really, really awesome.
I'm learning every day, you know. I'm self-taught, so it's just, and I think that's a good thing. I think, you know, as human beings, we should always aspire to learn something new every day.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Like, for example, my website, crispyontheweb.com, I learned the HTML and, like, the JavaScript a little bit. I learned like to do tables all through Google and YouTube. I didn't get education on it. I just self-taught myself. Even with the YouTube stuff and the podcasting, self-taught. Because I was on a campus radio station originally, but, you know, I learned a lot from that, but I also have learned a lot about being a podcaster on my own, too. So it's pretty awesome. You can teach yourself as well.
Yeah, I think there's no substitute for experience. You know, education is great, but, you know, it'll only take you so far. So, you know, you really don't know until you get out and you do it. So experience is really going to be king in most cases.
Exactly. I totally agree. How do you delegate? Oh, sorry. What marketing strategies you found most effective for projects that you've worked on?
I think I think starting early with marketing. So for example, you know, I want to make a feature length film. So I'm taking a year to do podcasts and to kind of announce myself out there so that when it comes time to meet with distributors and to market the project, I'll already have a good foundation as far as who I am. Hmm. And I hope that that will help to market my projects that much more.
All right. How do you delegate duties?
So you typically find people that are competent in their area. So, you know, let's say you hire a cinematographer, you want to make sure you do your due diligence on their past works. And if that's great, then you want to see if there is a good connection between you and that individual that will be operating the camera. You really have to have a good synergy with your staff when you're collaborating. So everyone has to be on the same page and be of the same vision. And that's really what I think finds to be success for me.
All right. How do you schedule production?
I schedule productions just based off of, you know, what needs to be shot. So like, let's say that we are filming in a building and it doesn't matter that it has light or you know, a exterior, you know, facade. So that could be scheduled at night, you know, when, mm-hmm. when the rates are lower. So it really just depends on the situation. If you're going to need to film outside in this day, then you're obviously going to want to schedule that time accordingly. But it just depends on the budget, the, you know, the timing, availability, etc. So these are things that you all want to take into consideration.
That's for sure. Can you talk about some of the projects you've worked on in the past?
Sure. I just finished a film called Thought, and that's about a young lady that's her reputation is being passed around in a barbershop and in the exploits of sexual encounters. And in that story, we want to explore how people's reputations get damaged just off of rumors. And then presently, I'm working on three feature-length projects. The first one is called Roger and Me. That's about a coding savant that his girlfriend breaks up with him, and he goes to an all-night hackathon. And then while he's driving home, he falls asleep and he crashes into a tropical goldfish store. The next day, he goes before a creative judge that sentences him to carry a GPS-infused goldfish that he must carry and take care of for 30 days. So that's the project I really want to do. I'm manifesting that project so that I can get the funding for that project. I think it would be a great, interesting project.
All right. What is the most difficult project that you have worked on? Tough question, I know.
I would say the first project, because first project I did was a blaxploitation called Black Rogers. Mm-hmm. And that was difficult because I had no idea what I was doing. I'm a guy that I rather wait around. Let's see what we can do. So, you know, I hadn't really written anything before. I hadn't cast before. I hadn't directed before. I hadn't worked with a crew before. So, you know, these were all things that, you know, I just tried to jump into the deep end and learn as I went. And, you know, there were a lot of times where, you know, shoots were delayed. You know, I didn't know anything about permitting or any of that stuff. So, you know, we were just kind of sneaking into locations and filming. And it was really exciting, scary, and frustrating at times because, you know, you just don't have the experience, but you know what, you want to create something.
Yeah, I hear you on that. And permitting means like permission, right? Like getting permission from certain locations that you need to film at?
Yeah, so whether you're like on the street or in a particular location, mm-hmm. You need to have some type of written agreement or at least a verbal agreement with mm-hmm. the owners or overseers of that property. So I didn't know that. I thought that, you know, this is no different from like just taking a camera and shooting on the street. So, you know, I learned a lot because, you know, sometimes security would come, police officers would come, and, I got warnings and, you know, sometimes I even had to run from campus security. So a lot of learning lessons.
Yeah, it's a lot of learning lessons.
Yeah.
Especially when you're in the public eye too, you want to. Especially if you're shooting like a panoramic view of, let's say, the lake down here, like in my town here. You know, you want to make sure you don't get the people in there, because you know people get upset. Oh, you're filming me. You know, you gotta also have permission from people in case too.
Yeah, that's right, 100%.
And that would be that would be called background actors, would it?
Yeah. So there's like. There's a general disclaimer that you can put up and you post it like on the outskirts of where you're filming, saying that attention, we will be filming in this area. If you come into this area, you consent to being filmed.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like a blanket statement to kind of get around that. But generally speaking, you know, if you're filming like in a closed location, then you would hire background actors that are willing to be filmed. And they want to be filmed.
All right. And maybe I'll add the things we were talking about this off camera before. How long have you been in this industry?
So this is my 13th year. I started January 1st, 2011. And I decided that enough of this. I'm going to make a run at this. I'm going to try my best and we're going to see what happens. So that was a New Year's resolution that I definitely kept.
All right. That's really cool. Yeah. It's amazing what, New Year's resolutions becomes real dreams and real goals for yourself, right?
Yeah. And, you know, I'll say that it's been it hasn't been smooth sailing. I'll say that. I think a lot of people kind of feel that, you know, if I have this dream, then, you know, everything's going to come to me easily. And, you know, that couldn't be further from the truth. There's going to be so many obstacles and no's and conflicts that you're going to go through to get towards your goal. But what I've learned is, as you go through these obstacles and setbacks, etc., it's only building you to be the person that you're eventually going to be. So, you know, that's put there by design. And it's really asking you, how much do you really want this?
Yeah, exactly. I've been through it too, being a YouTuber since end of January 2008. You know, I've been through my ups and downs with, you know, producing and directing and doing my series and all that. You know, you're always going to have something will go wrong. There'll always be conflict. There'll be, you know, drama. There'll be, you know, disagreements. But, you know, that's where communication comes in. Compromise as well. That's really important in this industry too.
Yeah. I think it's compromise is everything in collaboration. You know, there's a saying that, you know, you start off with 100% of your idea, and by the time you finish your project, you're lucky to have 60% of that idea, because, you know, you're collaborating. Maybe the idea changes a couple percents here, or, you know, you have to compromise because the location won't allow you to do what's in the script. So, you know, it's something that is continually shifting, and you're compromising and collaborating, and you know, you're hopefully moving your vision forward, but you know, you want to keep it on the rail.
Yeah, exactly. Totally agree. Any favorite project that you've worked on?
Let's see here. You know, I worked on this film called Sorry to Bother You by Boots Riley. Mm-hmm. And that was a really interesting project because it was a really zany idea. It was filmed here in nearby Oakland. And I just really, really loved the crew and, you know, the talent and just the end product of that project. So that was a really fantastic project and just really loved the people and had a great time working on that project.
Good. Really good. What is the toughest part about being a producer?
Well, it's really feast or famine. So, you know, there's times where something comes in and then usually when that happens, a lot comes in. You know, it's just it just keeps coming and it's fantastic. And then the flip side of the coin is there's times where just nothing comes in. And it could be, you know, months or years. So it's really important that, you know, when the times are good, that you store away your nuts like you're a squirrel, and you make sure that you can survive the tough times. So but also I'd say that, you know, this is an industry where you have to keep proving yourself, keep pushing forward, and that can be exhausting at times.
Yeah, that's the what they call that, burnout.
Yeah.
Well, not just burnout, but you know, it's just you're gonna have a lot of disappointments. People are gonna say no, I'm not interested, and you know, they're gonna be, you know, what's the word I'm looking for, people are gonna say no thanks and all that. to project and all that, but you know,
I've lost count on how many times people said no to me. It's just like I don't even know anymore because it's been so much. But you know, you're ultimately looking for that yes. So in a way, you're kind of like a door-to-door salesman where you're knocking no, and then finally someone says yes. So you really have to have that mentality.
That's very true. So have you taken any of your film to the film festivals, and which ones?
So I want to say out of all of the 9 films that I've made, 8 have made it into film festivals. Mm-hmm. Only one has not, and that's partially my fault because I was too shy to enter it into film festivals. But all of my films have done pretty well. The film that's probably got the most accolades is a film called Redress that I made in 2017. I want to say that made it into 25 or 26 film festivals.
All right. What's the process of getting into a film festival?
So you want to make sure that you have a finished product. You have all of your rights and clearances cleared. So, you know, if there's music, then, you know, it's original music. Mm-hmm. If you have video, then, you know, that's video that you own. Make sure that, you know, everything is, you know, great at that point. And what I do is there's a site called Film Freeway where you upload your media, and then that becomes a screener that you can send to the film festivals. So that's what I do. It's kind of like a shopping cart experience where you select the film festivals that you'd like to enter into. You send it off, and then cross your fingers, pray, and then you wait. And a lot of times they'll say no, but you know, there's times where they say yes.
Yeah. How long does it take to get an answer from the film festival?
It depends. They all have like their own, announcement dates. So generally, it's probably about 2 to 3 months you're waiting, and then they'll let you know.
All right. Yeah. Is there any favorite film festivals you have taken your projects to?
Trying to think. I've been in some really good film festivals. I'll tell you the ones that, you know, I had good experiences with. Mm-hmm. Pasadena International Film Festival, Burbank International Film Festival, Oakland International Film Festival. These were all great film festivals, and I had great experiences there. I'll say the best experience I've had at a film festival was the Sundance Film Festival, but I didn't go for my own project. I went with a team that entered something in, and accepted to Sundance.
All right. What are your future goals as the producer?
My future goals as a producer is to hand that job to a producer outside of me. I really want to focus on directing, writing, and just trying to be as creative as I can. As I get further on in my career and the stakes get higher, I want to work with someone that's more experienced than me, that has a bona fide relationship with distributors, and you know, can bring a lot of wealth of knowledge to the table. So I'm looking actually to hang up my producer cap in some capacity.
All right. And like writing, you mean like writing the scripts, right?
Yeah. So I want to focus on writing and directing.
Do you have any visions for any projects for writing a script at the moment, or are you just kind of playing around with different ideas?
So I have a project that I was talking about earlier. It's called Roger and Me. That's a film that I'm really passionate about. I would love to make it. It's a love story. It's a take on Tale of Two Cities. It talks about a lot of things here in the Bay Area, such as the wealth gap, gentrification, homelessness, different races, etc. To the tech industry, we can go on and on. So that's a project I really want to do.
Okay, and you've directed a lot of these films, right, as well?
Yes, I've directed 9 short films now.
Okay. So what is your favorite thing about being a director?
I think my favorite thing about being a director is just working with the crew and the actors, and everyone kind of seeing that vision kind of come to fruition. Mm-hmm. Everyone's on the same page. It's almost like being the conductor of a big fantastic symphony. You're just raising your stick or your hands or whatever, and everything is kind of coming in all in cue, all in sync, and that's a really a wonderful feeling.
Oh, I can imagine. I can really imagine, and just watching something from coming from the script onto the camera, which is just amazing. You're sitting there, and you're just looking at it, like yeah, this is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
What's the toughest part about being a director?
I think sometimes you'll work with difficult actors. Mm-hmm. I've worked with some really fantastic actors. I'd say the majority of the time I've worked with fantastic actors that, you know, are there because they're passionate about what they do. They want to do a great job. But every once in a while, you'll get someone that is there because it feeds their ego. And, you know, they are difficult to work with because you're not really working with someone that cares about the project. You're working with someone that cares about themselves. Mm-hmm. And that can be challenging because it's a kind of a push and pull. You're trying to work with them and their ego, and then you're trying to satisfy the project without taking the experience away from other actors that are participating.
All right. Is there anything else you'd like to add that we did not talk about today?
Yeah. So, you know, we have Strike 5 Films merchandise that we sell at our store. I'm sure that you'll put the links in the notes.
Yep.
But, you know, if you heard anything that you like and found value in this conversation, please come out to our site. I think we have some great merchandise. We have trucker hats. We have shirts. We even have a ebook on things that I've learned along the way called Forget Film School. It teaches you how to get started in this industry and not be someone that just waits around for this industry to come to them.
All right. Is there any social media or website of yours you'd like to promote?
I'm on all social media networks for the most part. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, I guess it's called X now, YouTube, and LinkedIn. So, you know, I'm pretty much in most places. I'm thinking about starting a TikTok. I just haven't really found the right message that I want to broadcast just yet.
All right. I want to thank you for coming on to the podcast today, Jason. I wish you nothing but the best in the future. Is there any any project you want to promote in the future, just email me, get my email now. You can message me on Matchmaker. I'll have you back on to promote it if you want.
Okay. Yeah, I'll certainly do that.
All right. As always, you can, if you're new to the podcast, please do subscribe to wherever you listen to the podcast or watching the podcast. Follow Crispy on the Web Media on Facebook, Twitter, aka X, Instagram at Crispy on the Web. I will see you guys on Wednesday for a bonus episode of the podcast. Till then, have a good one. Bye for now.
Entertainment Man Podcast is a weekly radio show produced by Crispy on the Web Media. All rights reserved. Any illegal reproduction of this content will result in immediate legal action.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week again for a fresh round.
It's the Entertainment Man Podcast.